Hello and welcome to the Breakthrough Coaches podcast coaching series, session number 4, entitled Build Your Capacity to Make and Manage Requests. I'm Jill Pancoast, Vice President and Managing Partner of the Breakthrough Coach. If you're listening to this session, you're a graduate of our Foundations course, How to Work Less, Produce More, and Still Get the Job Done in a Sensible School Week. The purpose of this audio series is to support our alumni in the on-the-job implementation of the Breakthrough Coach program. As with any new program you undertake, challenges will arise. You'll have burning questions for which you'll want answers. You'll come to decision-making crossroads that call for out-of-the-box solutions. And inevitably, breakdowns will happen. This podcast series is designed to support and encourage you in those make or break moments so that you thrive as an administrative team. The purpose of this session is to reintroduce and explore further the executive skill of making and managing requests. Making and managing requests is often a challenging concept for TBC graduates to wrap their heads around. But once a school executive develops facility with this skill, there's no going back. Simply put, making and managing requests is the most powerful fundamental practice an executive can adopt to amplify their ability to get work done through others. The following scenarios illustrate why this skill is so important for school leaders. Virginia, an assistant superintendent of business, needs some information. She asks Barbara, her secretary, can you pull the high school's student attendance data for the past 3 years? I'd like to know what the ADA has been each year in December. Expecting a concise 3-line list on her desk the next morning, Virginia is surprised to see 3 thick files stacked there instead. She sighs deeply and reluctantly starts thumbing through the stacks. The student services team is convening to prepare its status report for the upcoming district school board meeting. Alejandro, the team leader, is eager to show how well the team is keeping to its schedule and to reinforce the confidence his executive director has shown in him by giving him this important assignment. One by one, team members provide their updates. When they come to Roger, he apologizes and says that he wasn't able to complete his work this week. A coworker of his has been sick for the past 4 days. He's been covering her work, and he has had little time to complete the tasks related to the project, though he's been trying. Alejandro knows this will set the entire status report project back a week. He blows up in front of the whole team. Marissa, a middle school principal, can't get the time she needs from the IT tech assigned to her school. So she contacts Peter, the district's IT director, and asks that he help her solve her problem by saying, it would be great if you could come to our next meeting this Friday at 10 a.m. We could talk about this then. Peter says, great idea, Marissa. But come Friday, Peter doesn't show. Marissa is frustrated and decides she will just have to work around Peter in the future. These are just 3 examples of how poorly made requests affect results. Each example reflects the surprise, frustration, or disappointment of the person who made the request. Each example reflects a need for rework or additional unexpected work to produce the desired result. Each example reflects a situation in which working relationships may be negatively affected by blaming someone else for not doing what was expected, when what was expected was not very clear to begin with. The purpose of learning to effectively make and manage requests in writing, then, is fourfold. Number 1, it forces an executive to clarify for themselves and others their standards and success criteria for their school or department's work product. When standards are clearly stated, work quality inevitably improves. Number 2, it enables an executive to get technical work done through the appropriate technicians, which buys the executive more time in classrooms. 3, it creates a written communication trail which allows multiple parties to easily track and check the status of assigned tasks and projects. Collective energy is then freed up for more creative strategic thinking. 4, it provides an executive with opportunities to train and develop their staff for future leadership roles by delegating relevant and meaningful assignments. This promotes a positive climate and culture and increases staff retention. For these reasons, making and managing requests is the third fundamental practice that, when practiced in conjunction with the impeccable office and daily meeting, causes breakthroughs in an executive's time, results, and satisfaction. So let's review. Executives, your job is to get the technical work of your organization done through others, specifically by talking to the people who work for you. It follows then that if you're going to responsibly let go of doing technical work, work that must get done, you must ask your staff to act. Asking staff to act, then overseeing their actions through to completion, is the process of making and managing requests. This is the executive's job. A request is the act of asking someone for something, either to fulfill certain conditions or to produce a specific result. Requests always involve at least two people: a requestor, the person making the request, and a requestee, the person receiving a request. Complete and clear requests include 4 distinct parts: who, a name, who do you want to act? What result or outcome do you want produced? By when do you want the request fulfilled? And satisfaction requirements, statements that specify what would make the requestor satisfied under a given set of circumstances. If a request is missing any of these parts, it's not a request. It's a suggestion, a hope, or an aspiration, which often leads to the unsatisfactory outcomes I depicted in my 3 opening stories. Secondly, what makes a request, rather than simply delegation, is that a request elicits a clear statement of commitment from the requestee, typically in the form of yes, I'll do it, no, I won't do it, or something else. Executives, where many of you get yourselves in trouble is that you think your job is to delegate. Delegation is the act of assigning work to someone without their agreement in the matter. Executives, if you're assigning work to staff for which you never get a clear yes, I'll do it, no, I won't, or something else, you have no ability to hold anyone accountable. Accountability is created when a requestee commits to do what you have asked them to do and makes a promise to fulfill. So a request always includes the ability for the requestee to accept, decline, or counteroffer. Executives, you want to encourage this kind of dialogue in response to your requests because it develops honest, thoughtful, committed employees rather than apathetic yes men and women. The request form is a tool that, when used properly, 1, trains the executive to make specific and complete requests. 2, encourages staff to have upfront conversations with the executive to clarify their understanding of a request, negotiate its terms, and state their commitments plainly. And 3, provides written documentation of the agreements made so that nobody has to rely on their memories to keep track of it all. Executives, the likelihood of you getting back what you've asked for goes way up when you use these tools. This saves countless hours spent on rework and/or sulking while teaching all involved that sometimes to speed things up, you've got to slow things down. Now, I understand that our paper forms could be considered a throwback to the Stone Age. However, I believe Stone Age tools have their advantages when learning something new. Just consider the abacus for a moment. TBC graduates who use our paper request forms report that employees really do sit up and take notice when they receive a yellow handwritten note. Executives who make their requests on our yellow form are often surprised and delighted to discover that staff not only fulfill these written requests well, but often earlier than expected. Again, simplicity sometimes has its advantages. However, if you want to upgrade to Bronze Age, Iron Age, or Nuclear Age tools, you go for it. Some of our graduates use Microsoft Outlook's task feature for making requests because this technology better supports their multi-user calendars. Some build out their request making and managing system using Google's applications because they like the idea of articulating the requests in a standard form that can be translated into a sortable spreadsheet. You could translate the form's TBC jargon into synonymous language that might communicate better in your work environment. Just remember, whatever tool you use, make sure it forces you to put your requests in writing, include the who, what, by when, and satisfaction requirements, is trackable, and is scalable, that your tool or tools can grow with you as you grow in your desire and ability to make requests. It's not uncommon for Breakthrough Coach practitioners to make 5 to 10 requests a day. That's 25 to 50 requests a week. That's the amount of letting go it takes, executives, to get yourself down to a reasonable work week. Let's now address part 2 of this conversation. Executives, not only is it your job to make requests, it's also your job to manage the fulfillment of the requests you've made. So what does managing the fulfillment of requests look like when it's done well? It starts with understanding this. Executives, if you're going to make 25 to 50 requests a week to truly let go and share the load, and you want your requests fulfilled, then you must track the requests you've made so you know who to ask for what and by when. It's just a sheer volume issue. When you're making 25 to 50 requests a week, it's not just going to occur to you on Friday to follow up on request number 30 that you made on Wednesday at 2 p.m. 25 to 50 requests a week requires a closed loop system for following up. Closed loop means a system that automatically reminds you when to follow up and to what to follow up about. And your sent email file does not qualify. The accountability log, reviewed once a day in daily meeting, is a basic tool that systematizes following up at the right time, and as basic as it seems, it works. You may choose to develop and deploy a different, more sophisticated system. Totally fine. Go ahead. Just use something. A closed loop something. Because again, memory is insufficient for managing the complexity of what you're currently managing. Effectively managing the fulfillment of requests also requires offering support to staff in a timely manner. Once you've made multiple requests, especially those with longer time horizons, it's important to check in with your requestees along the way to find out how the work is going for them, either through quick conversations, scheduled meetings, or phone calls. You want no surprises if key projects or tasks are going off the rails, and you want the opportunity to coach your staff as needed so that they perform well at what you're asking them to do. Making and managing requests is not dumping. It's an opportunity to build capacity across your entire organization. When you check in with your requestees, you give them ample time to learn and to ultimately succeed at their assignments. And when staff experience success, they're more likely to want to accept your requests in the future. Again, the tool that enables timely check-ins and staff development opportunities is your version of the accountability log. If an important task or project is due to you in 3 weeks, don't let 3 weeks go by and then ask for the finished product. Set your accountability log to remind you to check in at the 10 to 14 day mark so you can offer your support and coaching at appropriate intervals. The final critical step in making and managing requests comes down to fulfillment and accountability. Executives, when you arrive at a by when date, you've got to be able to say to your staff, "This is now due. Show me what you got." And again, you know when to have this conversation and with whom, because your system reminds you to have this conversation. When you're confidently able to say, "This is due today, show me what you got," you're teaching your staff what accountability means to you, that the requests you make matter, that you're tracking them, that you care about the end product, and that you have data on reliability. When you be this way with staff and regularly have these conversations, their behavior with you will change. They'll become more accountable. Executives, when you run your organization via making and managing requests and build a documented, trackable system that supports you to do this, you'll see opportunities to make requests all day long. When I say your job is to talk in a way that generates effective action, this is what I mean. Do you make requests now? Yes, of course you do. You just don't make enough of them, of enough people. You don't make them clearly. You don't make them in writing. And you don't make them systematically. So fulfillment around you is hit or miss. Executives, it's time to up the ante on your requests making and managing. It's time to branch out and call on the collective intelligence of everyone who works for and with you so that everyone in your organization has the experience of working less, producing more, and causing breakthroughs for students. When you do this well, the whole organization gets better. Thank you for listening. This is the end of podcast number 4.